From Hollywood, California, we bring you a new prize Dr. Christian play starring Gene Herschel and presented for your pleasure by the Cheeseborough Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other Vaseline specialties. These days, there are only two things to do with anything made of metal. First, if it's something that has outlived its usefulness, it should be turned in to your local salvage committee for scrap metal to help the war effort. But if it's something worth saving, it's worth giving the best possible care and protection. Take your household appliances, for instance. You just got to make them last. In your household conservation program, Vaseline Jelly can be a real help to you. This medical preparation that you've used so often for minor burns and other everyday emergencies is doing double duty today by protecting many things in the home. Because Vaseline Jelly is air-resistant and water-resistant, it can help prevent rust from forming on anything made of metal. Put a thin coating of Vaseline Jelly on the metal parts of household appliances, like the washing machine and the electric iron, to keep them from getting rusty. Do the same to bicycle spokes, golf clubs, and guns. And here's the greatest idea yet for making razor blades last longer. Put a thin coating of Vaseline Jelly on the blade after drying it, and you'll get a lot more shaves from every blade. Luggage and other leather goods can be made to last a lifetime if you give them a light application of Vaseline Jelly every so often. It keeps the leather from getting dried out and cracked. Remember, Vaseline Jelly is very inexpensive, only 10 cents a generous jar. Yet it can help conserve many things that are irreplaceable today. Tonight's prize play, The Storm, was written by Robert Bruce Fuller of Watervliet, Michigan. The young author graduated from the University of Illinois last June, majoring in journalism. While in college, he was a member of several collegiate editorial boards and has appeared both as actor and writer on the college radio station. His next assignment is for Uncle Sam, as he is now awaiting call as an aviation cadet. In addition to Dr. Christian, played by our star, Gene Herschelt, and the doctor's secretary, Judy Price, played by a charming red-headed Lurene Tuttle, The Storm has only three characters. Dan Foster is young, rough, and tough. The role is played by Jerry Hausner. His sister Blanche is played by Shirley Mitchell. And Betty, played by Judy Ford, is one of the doctor's little patients whom you meet in the opening scene. And so the curtain rises.
Hi, Doc Christian. Going to be nice weather for ducks any time now. Look at that sky.
We can use some rain around here, Tom. Loosen up things. Bring up the green.
I guess so. I hope I get home before I drown. Well, we seen you, Doc.
Betty, I'm surprised that you're out this late. And in that thin dress.
But, Dr. Christian, it's not very late.
Oh, you'd better get home before it rains. It's cold. You wouldn't want to pay for these few minutes out here by having to stay in bed while your friends are out playing in the sunlight, would you?
Well, I guess not. But you're out in the cold in your shirt sleeves. Won't you have to stay in?
Well, probably. I haven't time to either. Oh, there's always a baby or an inflamed tonsil to be taken care of here in Riversend. And the weatherman isn't the doctor's friend. Come on inside, Betty, and I'll get you a warm coat.
Thank you.
Dr. Christian, come in here this second.
All right, Judy.
See, Betty, now I'm getting scolded.
Oh, look at you two. You look frozen. Come on inside.
Doctor, maybe Betty, being just a little girl, doesn't know any better, but you're old enough.
I'm probably disciplined, Judy.
Me too. Oh, I doubt if either of you is.
Judy, will you get that green coat for this frozen little turnip? It's in the closet behind
you. Yes, I know where it is, Doctor. Remember, I'm the one that keeps this office from going to rack and ruin. I'll get it. Back in a second.
Oh, what a miserable day. Like pending doom.
What did you say?
Just thinking what a gloomy day it is.
You don't seem to be happy like usual, Dr. Christian.
Oh, I'm sorry. Say, Betty, how's your mother and father these days? And little Johnny?
Oh, we're all right always. Uncle Joe's having trouble with his eyes again, though.
I thought he was going to see that oculist I told him about.
I suppose he can't leave his job long enough to get to the city. That old man Carter's a very mean boss.
I must see Carter.
Here it is. Here's some cookies. Raisin ones Mrs. Shaw brought over this afternoon.
They're to pay for her headache treatment, Doctor.
Gee, thanks for the cookies. Well, I'd better go now.
Oh, Betty. You haven't taken the coat.
Oh, no, thanks, Dr. Christian.
Man, put it on.
Oh, sure, bye.
And look at yourself, Doctor. You look dead.
Yeah, I know. But it was a rush call, and I thought I'd go back before dark. Oh, Judy, it was terrible. Terrible.
Oh, Mrs. Lasner?
Yes, I worked 4 hours, but I couldn't save her.
You're not blaming yourself.
No, I did what I could. She was too weak to be moved to the hospital. Oh, I tell you, these makeshift country operations are no good. The filth, that hopeless filth. I just couldn't save her.
No doctor can continuously succeed when he has to improvise hospital conditions on the spot.
We have to expect such conditions once in a while, but not as a steady diet. Those people need regular care.
Well, why can't we add to our clinic and have visiting experts who could make weekly calls on country people? Give them specialized treatment, which they can't get because of the distance to the city.
Well, that's what we need, all right. Take Mrs. Lasner, Betty's Uncle Joe. He hasn't the money or the time to see a specialist or even to get to a city-free clinic.
What's the matter with the health board?
Money, Judy. Money.
Would it take so much? There are wealthy people in Riversend.
Yes, but wealthy folks are feeling the pinch, too. Time was when our deficit would always be made up by Mr. Adams, the banker, and Mrs. Lorimer. Now, they haven't got it to give.
But we need more than we ever did.
I know it. Oh, Judy, do you ever feel that you're going to burst open? That all the troubles of the world are pushing against your insides?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes. On my blue days.
Well, that's what's happening to me. This is a blue day. I keep thinking of all those poor people that need my help so badly, and the pitifully little that I can do for them.
I suppose all doctors feel this way occasionally. After all, their whole life is based on human suffering.
Sometimes the whole picture of the tragedy wells up before us and almost stifles us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I feel so inadequate. I'm giving so little to the world.
Oh, but you've given a great deal more than your share.
But if I could have some money.
Well, don't worry too much. What you need are your slippers, a fire, and some warm milk.
And some of the raisin cookies?
Mm-hmm, and some of the raisin cookies. I'll light the fire in your office fireplace.
Due to your godsend. I'll probably feel better when I can't see this dreary sky.
Here we are. Now take off your shoes and your coat. I'll get your slippers and your smoking jacket.
You're spoiling me. I'll begin to feel like a Park Avenue specialist. I'll light the fire, Judy.
Mm-hmm.
That's better.
Here's the jacket.
Thank you, Judy.
Now get your slippers.
They're in that cupboard. Or what?
Yes, I know, Doctor. I know. Here you are. Now, sit back and forget your patient's fevers and the weight of the world. I'll get you the hot milk.
Don't forget the cookies.
No, I won't. Please, Dr. Christian, really rest. Don't think about things for just a little while. You're tired. Please, me?
All right. I promise, Judy.
No gloomy thoughts?
Not one.
Good. I'll bring your hot milk. And I've got an errand next door.
Oh, I wish all my patients could be sitting like this. My blue day. So many of them lately. Why can't I do something? It's not right. It takes money. So much money. What's that? Someone at the French window?
Who's there? Come in.
Dr. Christian?
Yes, I'm the doctor.
I'm really sorry busting in here by the back way. It was closer to the car, and the weather's going to break loose. I'm Dan Foster. This here's my sister, Blanche.
How do you do?
Hello.
Come in near the fire. You both look cold.
Oh, thanks. Sit back, Doc. I want to tell you why we came. It's about my sister here. It'll take some time.
Well, I have plenty.
You know, Doc Christian, you're a very famous man.
I am?
Sure. We hear about you even in the city, about your good deeds and all that. We're impressed.
You can do almost anything, I guess.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I'm very flattered at this endorsement from two people who don't even know me, but...
Yeah, everybody back in the city thinks you're a wonderful sawbones. You're studied all over the world. You know all about us humans, huh, Doc?
Well, physically, I can diagnose most people. Mentally, I'm not so good. Where did you hear about me?
Oh, from some of the doctors at the Stuyvesant Hospital. At least some of the ex-doctors.
Really? Who?
Oh, old Doc Murphy and Stan Lawson.
I remember Dr. Murphy well. He was a great doctor.
Yeah, we know, Doc, about him. He drank himself out of the hospital. He's doing private practice for himself now.
I see. Lawson, didn't he serve a jail sentence for something?
Yeah, he got kicked out of the profession for a while, but he's working again. Sort of an assistant to Murphy. Confidentially, they make a sorry pair of docs. But they speak real highly of you.
That's gratifying. Just, what can I do for you? You both seem in good health.
Oh, we are, Doc. It's something a little different.
Different? How do you mean?
Well, it's sort of a proposition, Doc. Now, as a doctor, you must know how to gamble.
We all have to take a certain gamble when we handle human life.
Yeah, and you should be interested in my proposition. I think it's a good bet.
Just what is it?
Well, do you notice anything about this girl?
How do you mean?
Well, anything familiar? Something about her face?
No.
Surely you've seen this face lately.
I'm sure. No, I think I... No, it isn't the same.
In a newspaper, Doc?
Newspaper, yes. Just a minute. I think I've seen such a person in one of my city papers. I guess I have it someplace. Yes. Yes, here it is. I knew it was. Laura Cartier, prominent debutante of last year's San Francisco season, who has been missing from her home since Friday.
Oh, of course, I remember.
You're Laura Cartier.
Well, sure, Doc, that's it.
But the whole country's been looking for you. What happened? Where have you been? Why are you here?
Oh, Doc. You see, Laura and me, we decided to run away and get hitched. Her uncle didn't approve of me.
Oh, he was furious, of course.
Yeah.
But everyone believes you've been kidnapped. Haven't you seen the papers?
Oh, sure. I feel awful about it.
Oh, yeah, it's a shame, but you know true love, Doc. You see, we want a few more days together before we tell anyone, just in case they won't let us stay together. They got power, those big people. They could keep me and Laura away from each other.
Do you want to let your uncle worry, Laura? You know how he's feeling.
Oh, sure, I know, but I love Dan so much.
It's your choice. Now, just what is it I can do for you?
Well, it's Blanche's or Laura's nose. I don't know why I keep using that fake name now that you know everything, Doc.
A nose?
Yeah, it's nothing really wrong, except, well, she just don't like that bump in it. And, we decided that as long as we had some time to kill, she might as well get it straightened out. She's sort of proud, aren't you, Laura?
Yeah. I never was satisfied with it. The rest of my features are all right, but my nose doesn't look so well.
I don't understand. Why are you doing this now?
I told you why.
But it isn't a simple operation.
Yeah, but you can do it. I know that.
Yes, I could do it. If I was sure.
Sure of what?
That what I was about to do was honest.
Oh, now, Doc, remember the sporting proposition.
I want to know more about this.
There's a lot of money to be had, Doc.
Just who are you two?
We told you. I'm Laura Cartier, and he's
The man you have run away with against your uncle's wishes, yes. You both told me that. Who are you?
Now, look here, Doc. We told you once. We're not going to go through it again.
I think I can make an estimate of what you are. I don't know exactly who you are, but I do know you're both lying. And that neither of you is what you claim.
Do you doubt it?
Yeah, what sort of...
You are imposters. And you are not Laura Cartier.
All right. So we're faking the whole setup. So what? I told you this was a gamble.
Well, like we told you first, brother and sister. We just wanted to make it sound good.
Sure, just kidding ourselves along that we were somebody important. Well, we're not. But it's fun to think so, huh, Doc?
Just what is this? You know something about Laura Cartier?
Oh, no, Doc. Oh, now look, here's a setup with us. Me and my sister Blanche are just two nobodies rotting around the city flat. We read about this here kidnapping in the papers, and we decide to take advantage of it.
Well, there was something about an uncle's death, a will.
Yeah, that's right, and what a will. $1 million for this Laura.
Her uncle died this week since she's been gone. He's old W.V. Cartier.
Yeah, you know, the old geezer with the canning factory. The one that's been in bed for years, just waiting to kick the bucket.
I read it, old.
So he ups and dies this week, and there's no other relatives but this niece, Laura, who's been kidnapped. So the money's got to go to somebody.
And you think that by this operation you can pass this girl off as to return Laura Cartier?
Right, Doc.
And you're sure that the real girl might not get back somehow? Well, then what?
Well, that's a gamble I'm taking, Doc, along with the fact that Blanche here may not be a good enough actress to seem like the real girl. After all, with her uncle gone, why, there's no other family to worry about recognizing her, and the servants can be replaced. I think it can be done.
Oh, now, I suppose it could.
All right. What's so terrible about doing a little operation that's only going to take about an hour or so?
I just can't do it.
Now, look, old man. Did you ever hear of a doctor getting $250,000 for an hour's work?
$250,000?
Not bad, huh? And that's going to be your cut on the deal. Buy a lot for that.
Yes. You know what happened to Laura Cartier?
I told you. We've never even seen her except in the papers. Just happens Blanche here looks like her, and the idea came to me to cash in. After all, as long as there's no family, why, all that dough will go to some charity or home for pampered pets or something. Why not get it for ourselves?
You sure can use it. This isn't any great shakes of a doctor's setup.
Be honest, Doc. Isn't this a pretty good deal? Couldn't you do plenty with that dough?
I guess I could. Oh, there's so many things to be done.
Sure. You could set up a big city practice. Bedside graces for the doughy dowager. Why, you could have a staff of pretty nurses. You could have a lot of cars.
You think that's what that money means to me? Cars and city specialist offices?
I get it, Doc. I see. You want the money for something really worthwhile, huh?
That's what it should be for. Something beneficial to humanity.
Why, sure. Well, that's fine. But with the 250 grand, why, you can do all kinds of good. Establish medical service out here for the Hicks.
For the poor who can't get away from their work to seek help from city clinics.
Swell. Yeah, that's just what you can do. Well, you'd be the savior of Rivers Bend or Rivers End or whatever this place is.
$250,000 would really help.
Yeah. A quarter of $1 million, Doc. That ain't hay.
I just can't.
I've heard about these country operations. I know how little chance there is for a good operation done on a kitchen table.
Yes. And to feel the agony, the helplessness of watching the poor things die from blood poisoning when they've been cut to pieces by antiquated farm machinery. To see their wives waiting by the doors for the tragic news that their loved ones are dead. I know the suffering. I've seen it.
Sure you've seen it, Dr. Christian. And you could see it stop if you would.
Yeah, think of the help you could buy. A nice clean hospital where farm mothers could have their babies in safety.
A lot of them do die, don't they?
Yes, a great many die that way.
And what's wrong? Listen, Doc, we're both going to get something out of this. We need each other's services.
What you ask is very little for what I receive. I understand that. But will the actual good upset the evil?
What's so evil about it?
It's the rolling snowball sort of evil. First a little thing, later it becomes greater. Until all the good has been overbalanced by the bad.
Well, that's sort of stretching things, Doc.
It's like fascism in a way, this offer. This easy, smooth invitation. This logical, oversimple explanation. This sentimental justification.
I'm not following too close.
Oh, your natural shrewdness should tell you what I mean. I mean, this is the simplest device of the devil. This ease. The quick, not sure way.
Now listen. I'm a patient guy. I've given you some good arguments.
Very good arguments. But I can see behind them. I can do more for these people by continuing in my present small ways. I'm sorry, I must refuse.
I'm sorry too, Dr. Christian. I'd sort of hoped you'd help us. And I think we can stop being polite now. I haven't got time to bargain anymore. I want your help. I was willing to buy it. I'm also willing to force it.
No, Dan.
Just how are you going to force it?
By the only way I know.
By a gun?
Yeah, this one.
You always go back to that.
Give me credit for at least trying the other way. I don't want to waste any bullets. I'm too smooth for that sort of thing.
In fact, this whole clever plan was yours?
Every bit of it.
You know where Laura is?
I knew she was dead. I knew Blanche looked like her. I liked the idea of $1 million.
Oh, let's get out of here. I'm scared. I ain't going to let him cut me up. How do I know he wouldn't kill me?
He won't, because I'm going to be there every minute with his gun pressed nice and cozy near his head.
I still must refuse.
Now, listen. I'm not fooling with you any longer. It's getting late, and I'm tired of bargaining.
It's not the bargaining that I mind. It's the thought that I might have done this thing. I would have there for a minute.
And you're still going to. Now, come on. Get things ready and stop stalling.
I'm not touching that girl.
I'll give you one last chance. Now get busy. This gun is no ornament.
I've decided, Dan. I'm not operating. The gun doesn't matter.
Dan, don't!
I warned you, Doc!
Did you open that window?
What a mess. I've never seen such a person. There. Here's your hot milk, Doctor. Dr. Christian?
Yes. Yes, Judy.
Why, you've been asleep, haven't you?
I've had a dream. A horrible. No. No, not a horrible dream. I've discovered things.
What sort of things?
No matter how little I can do. That if it's done to the best of my ability, I'm doing my part in the scheme of things. Such an old home remedy sort of a leave. I should have remembered it.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, but I do know you're soaked from the rain. Didn't you hear that awful clap of thunder a minute ago as I came in? Why, it was as loud as a gunshot. It was loud enough to wake the dead.
That's what it did, Judy. It woke the dead.
And the curtain comes down on another Dr. Christian Prize play, starring Jean Hersholt, who will be back in a moment to greet you. Men in white-collar jobs and women in the home are turning by the millions to work in war production plants. Many, for the first time, are taking on work that's really rough on the hands. And until those hands become hardened to the new job, they're apt to get sore, blistered, and cracked. When that happens, turn to gentle, soothing Vaseline jelly. Relief starts almost the instant you apply it. Vaseline jelly does three important things for tender, sore hands. First, it soothes irritated skin. Second, it forms a protective film that helps keep infection out when the skin is broken. Third, it helps to promote healing. Keep a jar of Vaseline jelly in your locker, ready to apply whenever your hands become red and sore. Use this fine medicinal product for chapping and other minor skin irritations of all sorts. Skin that's chafed or irritated by clothing. Get Vaseline jelly tonight. Only 10 cents. The trademark Vaseline is your guarantee of absolute purity. And now, here is Jean Hersholt, the popular Dr. Christian of this series, with news of next week's prize play.
Now, before I tell you about that, I have a word for the younger generation about how they can help in the war effort. Get your class in school to join the Junior Red Cross. Your teacher will enroll your class if you convince her that you are really interested and anxious to help in this great work. Now, about next week's prize play. It is called Fields of Corn, and it has been selected especially for use next week because next Wednesday is the 24th anniversary of the armistice of the First World War. The play was written by Clark Davis, who lives here in Hollywood, and we hope to have the author with us as our guest next week. So until next Wednesday evening at this same hour, I'll say good night.
Servicemen and civilians alike have good reason to prefer Vaseline Hair Tonic. Vaseline Hair Tonic not only grooms your hair to look its best, but keeps it well groomed for many hours longer. A few drops combed in each morning will keep your hair good looking and natural looking all day long. Get Vaseline Hair Tonic tonight. Art Gilmore speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.